thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're going to be continuing in Proverbs over the next couple of weeks as we look at some more of the major themes that occur within the book. And this week we're going to look at a very practical theme, and I think it's also one of the most encouraging themes within the book, and that is friendship. I am sure that every one of us here this morning values our friendships, but of course when we talk about friends, we're usually describing a wide range of human relationships. We all have people that we call friends, although in truth, really they're occasional acquaintances. We rarely, if ever, see them. There are people that we call friends, and yet, you know, the relationship with them isn't particularly deep. But we only have one or a few friends, people to whom we are particularly close. Friends that you could confide your deepest thoughts and feelings to. People who you know will be with you through the ups and the downs, through the thick and the thin. So friendship is a varied, a rich, an important part of life. And if you have no true friends, you are poorer for it. Now, the Bible doesn't actually give a definition as such of friendship, but it does talk a lot about friendship in its different forms, and it shows us the true elements of friendship, particularly through stories. You think about David and Jonathan. That is actually the key friendship story in the Bible. Ruth and Naomi, although mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, but still an absolute friendship. Paul and Barnabas, what great friends. They had a disagreement, but they still remained friends. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus, great friends. You may want to reread some of these stories for yourself and think further about this theme of friendship in the Bible. But Proverbs, the book of wisdom, has more references to friendship than any other book in the Bible. So what does Proverbs say about friendship? Well, this morning I'm going to look at this from three distinct aspects of friendship that are addressed within the book. Firstly, the influence of friends, having a true friend, and being a true friend. So firstly this morning, the influence of friends. If you are a parent, and many of you are parents, many of your parents have still quite young children or teenage young people, and if you've had children, you will know that when they're growing up, you are very concerned that they have good friends around them. Why is that? Because you know that the influence of their friends can be either positive or negative. Friends can influence you on the right road, the good road, or friends can influence you on the wrong road, the bad road. The book of Proverbs recognizes that friends are influential in our lives, and it speaks about both the positive and the negative influence. But it's not just applicable to children and young people. We are all, no matter how young or old we are all susceptible to being influenced either for good or for ill by the people that we surround ourselves with. And sometimes it's good to stop and ask ourselves, what kind of influence are my friends actually having on my life? Maybe one of the best pieces of advice and friendship in Proverbs is here in 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, or the righteous man or the righteous person is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. In other words, you should think carefully about your friendships. Not everybody is what they initially seem to be. You may think somebody is totally trustworthy. You pour out your heart to them. You tell them some secrets, only later to find that they have misused the information or they have betrayed that confidence to other people. We also need to think carefully about the effect of the other people have on us, the influence they have on us, because we are all influenced by the people we surround ourselves with. And we need to ask, honestly, what is that person's influence in my life? Some people, they build you up in your faith. Is that not just right? I met somebody for coffee this week, and they built me up in my faith. They encouraged me. Some people spur you on. When you just have a chat with some people, they just make you want to live for the Lord more than you've ever lived for the Lord. Do you know the kind of person I'm talking about? And then you meet some other people. Oh, they drain the life. They drain the life out of you. I've not had coffee with any of those this week. They drain the life out of you. They seem to sap all your faith away. They seem to fill your mind with doubts and negativity. It's a wise person. That's what Proverbs talking about. It's a wise person, both young and old, who reflects on these things and says, well, I can't maybe cut off from my life people who are less than positive, but I can limit their influence upon me. I can say to myself, I'm not going to get dragged into a net of negativity here. So being cautious or choosing friends wisely is about learning what somebody's real character is like and asking ourselves, is this the kind of person I want a close association with? Because there are many very charismatic people in this world. Many people with great gifts and abilities. They might seem like the ideal friend, but scratch below the surface and they may lack honesty, good character, integrity. True friendship is based on more than the surface appearance. One note of warning about friendship is found in Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Well, why not? You may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. See how practical Proverbs is? But this might seem like an odd warning, because if somebody's hot-headed, you know, like fly off the handle, whatever way you want to put it, quick-tempered, you might say, well, that's an inherited character trait. The person has no control over that. Not if they're a believer. Not if you're a believer, you cannot make that excuse, because the Bible says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And those of us who are in Christ have the power of the Holy Spirit at our disposal, who helps us to deal with negative and destructive character traits. We can't make excuses for ourselves. But the warning here in Proverbs is that if we choose to be friends with such a person, we will be ensnared in their ways. You might think, well, that's unlikely. Because if you're not hot-headed, quick-tempered, you think, well, I'm not going to be ensnared in their ways because I'm never going to be a hot-headed, quick-tempered person, because that just isn't my nature or personality. But here's the trap, here's the snare. Getting caught up in their arguments. Taking sides when they have flown off the handle. Allowing yourself to become embroiled in somebody else's pettiness and the divisive issues that inevitably follow a hot-headed person. How wise do we see in God's word? Do we not all, I mean, if you read that, do you not just immediately think of people, some people who are hot-headed, and then they fly off the handle, they get embroiled in all kinds of arguments, they stir up division, they tell the story, they repeat the story, and what do they want to do? They want to get you on side. They want to get you ensnared in the same kind of pettiness as themselves. The word of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs tells us, don't be friends with such a person. Don't have a close association with such a person. Otherwise, you will get ensnared. But on the more positive influence, there are the positive influence of good friends. And here's a great couple of verses. Many of you will know this so well. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, or a friend sharpens a friend. That's one of the most quoted verses in the book of Proverbs. It speaks about the people in our lives who challenge us to be better people. Do we not all need friends like this? Friends, and we can look at their lives, we look at their characters, and we say, I want to be like that. I want to act like them. I want to think like them. You know, the Apostle Paul said to people, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's a challenge. How many of us would ever want to say to somebody else, imitate me? You see what you see me doing? You see what you kind of things you see me saying? You do that too. Most of us wouldn't be brave enough to say that. Paul was brave enough because he says, I'm doing what I see Christ doing. Oh, we need friends like this. Their influence in our life is to cause us to grow and develop in our character and our walk with God. This doesn't end when you reach a certain age. You could be 85 and still growing in character, in love, in faith, in patience, in goodness, and all those fruits of the Spirit. You can still be growing no matter how old you are. Isn't this the kind of friend here that you want to have? Do you want to have that kind of friend? Do you want to be that kind of friend? And then Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. This is the power of influence. If you continually associate with a wise person, a person who thinks wise thoughts, says wise things, if you have a wise friend, it will rub off on you. But if you listen to a lot of rubbish, well, that rubs off too. Say no more. Choose your friends wisely. Consider their influence in your life. And then secondly, having a true friend. True friendship, it is priceless. And if you've been blessed in life, people often say this, if you have been blessed in life with even one true friend, you're in a very blessed position. I was thinking, you know, that during the lockdown, a lot of people probably realised they didn't have as many friends as they thought they had, because a lot of people were on their own for a very long time, maybe nobody contacting them or whatever. You are blessed if you have even one good friend. There are three very important verses about friendship within the book of Proverbs here. This first one, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A true friend will tell you the truth in the right spirit, even when it hurts to do so. But we all know from our own experience, you have to totally trust the person who is wounding you like this. You have to totally trust that their intentions and their motives are love for you. and for no other reason, not to harm you in any way. Because if you believe or you think they're out to harm you, you're going to be totally wounded, not healed. But if someone, a true friend who you love, wounds you, and you know the Spirit and it's been spoken in love and for your good, you will actually be healed by that wound. And then there's Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It speaks about the depth of true friendship that will endure through every season of life. You know, you hear about fair weather friends. When things are going great, they're with you, they're for you. When things are not going so well, you know, you can't see them for dust. If you think about David and Jonathan, I'm not going to go into that whole story this morning, but that is one of the true pictures of real, genuine friendship in adversity in the Bible. Loyalty, risk, value, honouring each other above the other. The real elements of friendship. But here's where I want the focus to be this morning. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You all recognize the second part of that verse, don't you? That's a very well-known verse in Proverbs. And it's referenced in connection with God's friendship with us. And this is where I want the focus to be this morning. Sometimes we speak about God, Jesus, being our friend. And it just kind of rolls off the tongue so easily. But I want each one of us this morning to stop and think about this for a moment. To reflect on this absolutely astounding truth that we have in the Bible. That God is our friend. That he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. They talk about blood being thicker than water, but there is no friend like the Lord Jesus. And this is something totally unique to Christianity. There is not another religion in this world where people can be said to be friends with their God. It is utterly unique. But I want to say something very important about it. Being a friend of God, a friend of Jesus, is not the same as saying that God's my mate. Do you know what I mean? That God's my best pal in a kind of overly casual, irreverent, disrespectful way. It is true. God is our friend. Jesus is our friend. But God is God. He is the Almighty One. He is the Eternal God. He is the God who is enthroned in splendor and holiness. He is the one to whom all worship and praise and honor and glory and wisdom and power are due to his holy name. He is God. And yet he says, you are my friends. Friends, think about that this morning. Let the astounding truth of that fill your mind and your heart. And remember, this is the most immense privilege of your whole life, to say that God is your friend. In the Old Testament, both Abraham and Moses, I've put the references on there, were specifically mentioned as God's friends. These are the only two people, and I know it talks about David was a man after God's own heart. He was never referred to as God's friend. These are the only two people in the whole Old Testament revelation that are said to be friends of God. But there is a huge change when we come into the New Testament. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I just want to read this morning, John 15, from verse 12 to verse 17. Just have a wee drink here. John 15, verse 12 to 17. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 9. It's Jesus speaking to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Oh, think of that quality of love. Think of that eternal love of the Father and the Son and indeed the Spirit from all eternity. That eternal love that the Father and the Son shared. And Jesus is saying, that same love, that's the love that I've loved you with, my disciples. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And here is Jesus speaking, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. Why? Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And listen again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. What words? What words? Greater love has no one than this. Jesus Christ, our friend. I mean, can any of us grasp the significance and the privilege of being called a friend of the Lord of glory? Look at this world. Take a drive down the Finvoy Road and look at those trees and that greenery. Look over to Knocklade Mountain. Look over to the hills round about. Look in your own garden if you've got a few plants in there. And at the beauty and the awesomeness. Look at the birds and the animals and say, Jesus Christ created all of this by the word of his power. And he's my friend. He's my friend. He hung on a cross for me when I was his enemy. When I was his enemy, alienated from him. If I just get that next wee one on, Dave, not working. For God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were sinners, enemies, separated from God, alienated from God, Christ died for us. That was how he brought us into friendship with God. Oh, friends, the privilege of it. The privilege to be able to say, you are my friend. And it's not just some kind of casual acquaintance of somebody in a far distant land. This is the closest friendship of our lives. Would you not tell Jesus things you would never breathe to another living soul? How many times during the day do you just breathe out, even sometimes only his name, Jesus? Sometimes that's just in worship. At other times, it's because you can't find any other words and there's a prayer, there's a burden in your heart, and you say, Jesus, How many times when you're lying in your bed at night do you just thank him for his blessings, for his care, for his comfort, for his strength? How many times just in the course of your working day do you just offer up a prayer, an expression, a sentence of thanksgiving that you know him, that he loves you, that he cares for you? It's the most intimate and the closest friendship of your life. Do you know him as your friend? Do you know him? This is not pie in the sky. This is not Jesus and me, we're best mates kind of stuff. I'm talking here about friendship with the Lord God Almighty. And it's available to every one of us in this room. Jesus has made it available because he died for us. Come to him today. Say, Jesus, I want you as my best friend. You know, in truth, none of us could have claimed Jesus as our friend because the disparity is just too great. We're sinners. We fail. We are frail. We are unfaithful every day of our lives. Do you know how we can claim him as our friend? Because he is perfect. He is loving. He is strong. He is holy. He is forgiving. He is faithful to the end. And he says, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. I've chosen you. You know, like when you were school kids, I think girls were much more into this than boys. You're not my friend anymore. You know, like boys don't really do that. I don't think so much. But girls say, you're not my friend. You wouldn't do this, you wouldn't do that. And then it's a whole big makeup and tears and trauma and all that. Hopefully you grow out of that. Ah, even as adults, friends fall out, don't they? A friend stops speaking to you. A friend blanks you. Jesus will never blank you. Jesus will never stop speaking to you. Jesus will never walk away. You may have walked away. He's standing there like this, arms open wide, ready to take you home, take you back. Maybe not take you home to heaven yet. Maybe who knows? But take you back. Always faithful. What a friend. What a friend. What a marvel. Giving of himself, full of sympathy as our high priest and friend. Full of comfort. May your friendship, may my friendship with Jesus be the shaping influence of our lives. May his friendship comfort us and strengthen us in every season and never lose a sense of wonder that he has chosen us. And then finally this morning, I'll just be brief in this final one, being a true friend. Not having friends. What is it they call it? Johnny, no friends. I just happened to look over there, Johnny, but I don't think that's you. I think you've got some friends. Or whatever they call it, that person, no friends. Norman, no friends. It's a lonely existence. Many people have no friends. But if you're a friend, if I'm a friend, how can we improve on the friendship scale? Because we can always improve. Not saying, how can I get a better friend? But how can I be a better friend to someone? Proverbs gives us advice. Number one, keep a confidence. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. Because real friendship is completely based on trust. And if trust is breached, it takes a very long time, if ever, to heal that friendship. So someone who's a gossip will never be your true friend. They might sidle up to you. They might try to worm their way, gain lots of information about you by being sympathetic and very kind. But if anybody tells you somebody else's secrets, you can be sure they're going to tell somebody else your secrets. Being a good friend is learning to zip the lip. learning to keep your mouth shut in lots of situations and not pass on information others have given, because it's true, gossip separates close friend. Be a true friend, keep a confidence. Secondly, be a true friend, forgive people. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. What does the Bible say? Love covers over a multitude of sins. But you know that if somebody won't let something drop, do you know that kind of way? They just won't let it go. Well, they keep telling the story. Stories grow arms and legs in the telling, do they not? And we all tell a story. Every one of us tell a story from our own perspective, with our own bias. But you know what the beauty of being a Christian is? That we know that we have been forgiven an offence, offences, a debt that we could never pay. Christians should be the most forgiving people on the planet, because we have been forgiven all our sins by the Lord, and he has thrown them into the sea of his forgetfulness. So that should change our view of the offences of others. How can we withhold forgiveness when we ourselves have been forgiven so much? As Jesus said, when you pray, if you do not forgive people their sins, the Father will not forgive your sins. But you know what part of the covering is? It's not just forgiving. It is really letting it go. Not repeating it. And that's what it says. Whoever repeats the matter. There are some people, and when something happens, they honestly, they just can't let the thing drop. They can't let it die. Repeating a story, an offence, keeps it living and breathing. Just stop feeding it, and it will die a death. Stop feeding it. Stop repeating it. Forgive people. And then, final little point this morning. Recognise the true value of people. It's quite interesting that in Proverbs, there's a very strong connection between poverty, wealth, and friendship, and how people like to be friends with a rich person, but they're not too interested in the poor person. Who is it sang that song? Who is it? Do you know that song I'm thinking about? I just thought, you know, me and you, Graham, and our really close friendship. No, it's not, we should be coming around the mountain. Anyway, it's about everybody abandoning. It was a guy that had a drink problem for a long time, and he's a good singer. But anyway, I've forgotten his name. See, I'm not really into music, but it's basically when he had nothing, he was down and out. You know, when he was down and out. Do you know who I'm talking about now? Who is it? Have you forgotten as well? Oh, dear, Graham, we'll need to keep taking the medicine. Anyway, whoever it is, when he's down and out, no friends. Okay, we'll stick to the Bible. We'll not worry about the songs. Proverbs 19:6-7. Many curry favour with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives, and how much more do his friends avoid him? Though he pursues them with pleading, they're nowhere to be found. Proverbs 14:20, the poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. And the one that we have here on the screen, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Is that not a sad and true reflection in the world? It really is. But in the church, that thinking has no place. I was thinking about the book of James, you know, if the well-dressed person comes in, you bring them to the front, you make a big fuss of them, you want them to sit there. Somebody smelly, dirty, tatty comes in and you kind of shove them in the back corner, out of sight, out of mind. As Christians, we should be able to see beyond all that surface stuff. Beyond the material position, the material possessions of people, the houses people live in. Do you know what? All of that doesn't make one iota of difference in true friendship.
It doesn't make one iota, because true friendship is about character. It's about character. And how much money somebody has doesn't make any difference to how good a friend they'll be. Because friendship isn't about getting. It's about giving. It's about enriching one another's lives. And our priority should be, how much can I give to this person? How can I enrich that person's life? How can I influence that person for good? And if that's our attitude, our friendships will be richer in every way. So that's the wisdom from Proverbs this morning. Choose your friends wisely, because everybody brings influence into our lives. Having a good friend, Jesus is the best friend. And being a good friend, let that be our aim this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.